Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. It's the news. According to me. Hey, it is. Guess what? I'm here. I wasn't not expecting to be here. And I'm not in Appleton. I'm not. I'm in Chicago, surprisingly enough. I was supposed to be in Appleton last night. That didn't happen. Well, went to Appleton, came right back. I'm in Chicago right now. I will be in White Plains tomorrow morning. Actually, tonight I will be in White Plains. However, the White Plains, New York. However, I will be leaving out of there so early in the morning. I may do a show tonight, possibly, and then see how that goes. I might post it on Friday morning. We'll be back to normal next week. I think Monday. I think every day next week, I believe, I'll be able to have a show in the morning time show. As far as I know, it should work out that way. Sunday. What am I saying? Friday morning may be the only iffy day of the week next week that I might not be able to have a show. I'll have shows all over the country. Because when you're listening to an audio podcast, it's important that it comes from different locations, because it's important because it sounds different. This is the sound of Chicago right here in the background. You can hear the air conditioner running from the hotel here. I could have shut that off before I started this, but I forgot it was on and it kicked on and it's now it's running. So there you go. I have in my trusty cup here. I have my chai with just French vanilla creamer, and I have no backup cup other than just this bottle of water that I have here with me. So I was not planning on any of this happening as things were going last night, but it was, this is how it turned out. So here we are. We'll just make the best of it. I have, this is an opinion show. It's I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm not some kind of geopolitical expert. I just have, 60 some years of living on this planet, having gone through, 12 different presidents or whatever I've gone through. And just going to share with you all my opinions, which is that's what this show is about. It's my opinion of the news. And I'd like to have to hear your opinion about my opinion. We have a hotline you can call in, 812-379-8778. You can call that number. Or you can text that number. Or you can go to google.com/voice and you can type in that number and leave a message or leave a voicemail or a text, either one. I might play your audio on the show unless you say otherwise. If you tell me that you don't want me to play it, I will play it. You're welcome to give me your input and your thoughts through that little platform. I have gotten some invitations. There's a couple of this. I think they just send out. I don't think they've. This one person said they listen to my show all the time, and they're some kind of a. I don't know if they're running for mayor or what they're doing in New York, and supposedly, it's a syndicated show host of some kind is running for some kind. They want me to interview them, and I don't think this is legitimate. I think it's probably. I get these occasionally. There's another lady who wrote a book that. She's apparently out fishing for places to promote her book, probably, and this is, she wants to do a podcast. She wants to be interviewed on her podcast or have a discussion or whatever it is. However, this I get these kinds of emails a couple times a week. People who want to be interviewed or participate in the show. Now, I guess I'm going to leave that up to my listeners. Is that something you guys? I've done some interviews in the past. I've interviewed some other podcasters. It's been over, I think, a year ago. Interviewed some other people, and I don't know. I enjoy doing interviews. I'm not sure that it's the format of this show that I had really kind of set out to do, or that's not really the purpose of the show. However, I know that also is somewhat entertaining, or not entertaining as in like a sitcom entertainment, but it's. Interesting, I guess I'm going to say. It piques some people's interest, and they want to know more about some things and talk about some general topics and get some people's opinions. I enjoy doing interviews. I enjoy interviewing people, but it's also very it's much more challenging, I guess, in some respects, to get all the coordination done, get everything done the way it should be done. That's probably something I'm going to look into at more after retirement. So after a couple more years, I'm probably going to be looking at more, doing more interview type stuff, if this industry is even still around. AI is going to take over everything. People are going to say, "What would an interview between so and so and this and that create a podcast with an interview with these two people?" And there you go. It's done. Create a year-long show. All this crazy stuff that everybody's living in a cartoon world. I was eating breakfast this morning here at this hotel. It has a free breakfast, and I was down there eating breakfast. And this grown man, he looked to be an old man, and I realized he's probably my age. But he is sitting at a table by himself, and he's got his little phone up there. He's watching something. I usually don't pay attention to what anybody's watching. I don't even look at their screen. I just think, okay, she's doing the same thing I'm doing. I got my little thing up there. And I'm listening to news broadcasts and gleaning all kinds of information, data, and analysis for you, my listeners. And but anyway, he was sitting there watching this show, and I looked over to see what he's looking at. I happened to, where I was sitting, I could actually kind of see what his screen. So I was like, well, what is he actually watching there? It was literally some kind of a cartoon show. I don't know... what it was, I've never seen it before. It just looked weird. But it was a cartoon, and now maybe it was an adult cartoon. I don't know. Maybe it was some kind of other topic. It was kind of like people watch The Simpsons. I guess that's a cartoon. I guess that's adults watch that. I guess. But this was. I look at that. I wonder what. Okay, that's to each his own. I guess. I don't. It's. I wanted to go over and ask him how old he was, but I didn't do that. Maybe he's a 12-year-old locked in a 60-something-year-old body. I don't know. Maybe he's in his 50s too. I don't know. He's an old man, probably not as old as I am. That's a pretty good chai, actually. It turned out okay. We have a couple things. This thing. That Tulsi Gabbard is unloading on. She dropped some more documents, I think, yesterday. Hunter Biden came out and was talking about Joe Biden. I'm going to cover this first because it's kind of related, sort of, to some extent. This whole thing of what the Democrats, pay very close attention to what the Democrats accuse other people of doing, especially the Republicans. Because chances are, pay very close attention to it, because typically they are doing the same thing or want to do the same thing or have attempted or already done the same thing. This is becoming more and more evident in everything that they're doing, and it's one thing after another. It always comes back out that, oh, they were doing it. That's why they think other people are doing it, because that's where their mind goes. That's the first thing that they would think of, which just shows their depravity and what they're willing to do. This Hunter Biden thing, he came out and started talking about how, they had my dad. He was traveling around the world three times. The mileage he traveled was like going around the world three times. And then he jumps out of the plane, and he made it sound like he just was on a plane doing all this stuff, working really hard. They had him on Ambien so he could sleep. And then he just jumps out of the plane and does the debate with Donald Trump. That's not the way it happened, first of all. Secondly, Adam Carolla had a really good take on this. Traveling for the president is not exactly the same as traveling for you and I. When I get on a plane, I don't have my own little suite, my office and my bedroom and a full-size, king-size bed. I don't have people waiting on me hand and foot for whatever I want. It should be that way. But it's not. Now, I have, he was doing this. Yeah, he did this thing where he was going around the world, and he had some meetings around the world. That's what the president does. That's your job. And you have a flying office, basically, is what you have, with staff and personnel and everything else. And you just wake up, and there you are. You're in this place, and you have your little 3-hour meeting, whatever it is, and then you go back to bed. your little milk and cookies, and you go back to bed. So that, this idea that he was just, you know, so beat from traveling around the world, had to go to the airport, wait in line, go through security, had to, sit there, and we had cancellations and weather issues and maintenance and mechanicals to deal with, you know, and then he had to sit in a chair with, you know, two people on both sides of him, overweight people on both sides of him, and then he had a screaming baby behind him. Couldn't sleep. Had to take Ambien so he could sleep on the plane, drooling everywhere. Flight attendant was nasty, too mean to him. That's not what happened. He did this little trip where he went traveling around the world. He had a couple of days between that and when he went to the preparation time. Everybody knows he talked about this. They went to some retreat somewhere and went to do this debate prep. Supposedly he also had a cold. He was on probably on, you know, Sudafed or something, whatever he was on. And I guess the one guy who was doing the interview prep, he said, or the debate prep, he said, well, at one point he just got up and walked off in the middle of the prep and went to the pool, laid down, and took a nap. What? Like in the middle, like there was, and in the prep time, the only time that they did any prep was like 2 hours a day. Couldn't even make it through a 2 hour prep time. This was supposed to simulate the debate. Okay, so then this whole thing about Hunter saying that, oh, you know, they got him on, then he had him on Ambien. Well, that's okay. That's a sleeping thing, I think, or sleeping drug, I guess, to help you sleep. So it makes him groggy. So he had lots of time here. The debate prep thing was 6 days prior to the debate. And then I get a day or two in between there as well. So don't get the travel time has nothing to do. Nothing. But it made it sound like he was traveling around and then jumped off the plane and landed right in the debate stage. And just came right down the stairs, you know, off the plane after traveling 3 times around the world. Barely able to sleep because this guy is just so full of energy and so full of life. And so with it that he got, you know, then you know, of course he stepped off there and was confused. Now what he's not saying here is what he is admitting by default is that Joe Biden's performance at that debate was terrible. But it was because of all these things. He's not saying he didn't have a bad debate performance. He's saying, well, it was because of all these things. And then George Clooney comes in, steps in, and tells him that he has to. Who's George Clooney? Oh, who's he? He's just an actor. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Well, who are you, Hunter Biden? You're just the son of a president. You didn't do anything. Well, you did a lot of things. Nothing of any productive value. So, here we go. That's what's happening on that side of things. Now, there's a lot of things that Tulsi is talking about in this information dump. Now, here's one of my concerns about this whole thing. First of all, so they're implicating Barack Obama. The first time anybody has really stood up to Barack Obama and said, hey, you were a crook. You did these things, and we have the proof. Here's the evidence. Here's the receipts. We're going after you. Barack Obama was a very popular president, according to everything the news media tells us. However, I'm not so sure about that. I think that as the black community has looked back at Barack Obama, they have realized that, hey, this guy did not necessarily help us at all. Just other than the fact that he was black and got elected president, and he was only half black. Of course, that's, unfortunately, society treats a half black person. They don't treat him as half white. They treat him as half black. It's just that they're black. I don't say, well, you're white, but you happen to be, you know, half black. Which is, that's, in my opinion, that's kind of weird. So we have this, I think, a pushback from the community to some extent that he's not as popular as we are being led to believe. They gaslight us on everything else. They might as well be gaslighting us. So they have the issue here, of course, is that Obama was in the middle of this whole thing. He was literally coordinating, executing. And when, again, like I said yesterday, when you talk about Obama, you're talking about his little close-knit team, the three or four people around him who are basically guiding him and telling him what to do. He can play the part of being large and in charge. He's not large and in charge. There are other people who are larger and more in charger than he is. And they're formulating and helping him gather his thoughts, helping him bring out the best of him, you know, telling him basically how to curate all of his thoughts and ideas, which basically all boils down to he hates the country, first of all. He hates the United States. And he's made that very clear. He won't just come right out and say it. He doesn't like our Constitution. He said that. However, he just, this whole thing is all about him being a Marxist in general, but he also is his little socialist mop camp comment that he made one time. I'm here to clean up this mess. Some will say, oh, you can't clean it up. That's a socialist mop. I'm going to use a mop. Well, some will say, that's a socialist mop. Can't use that. Oh, I don't care what it is. I'm going to clean it up. No, he doesn't care what it is. Fundamental transformation doesn't mean restoration. No, he should have said fundamental restoration, the restoring of our republic, is really what we really want. And I think Trump hasn't said that, but that's what he's doing. He's trying to restore our republic back to a constitutional republic. Now, speaking of which, I want to comment real quick. I don't. I'm going to save this for the end. I'm going to keep on going where I'm going. I don't get on a bunny trail yet. Yeah, I want to, but I'm not going to. I'm the king of the bunny trails. The interesting thing about this whole thing is that when Tulsi Gabbard, and I laugh every time I think about this, Tulsi Gabbard has come out with these incredible comments about what Hillary Clinton was going through during the election season in 2016. She basically, what they were describing was a bipolar individual who was on all kinds of medication. Now, keep in mind, she was getting into a van somewhere and she passed out, went stiff as a board and fell flat on her face into the van. And they had to basically, and they didn't skip a beat. They didn't act like this was something unusual. So apparently this has happened before, just not in public like this. She lost her slipper. She lost a shoe as they scurried her, like lifted her and pulled her into the van and took off. And then she was seen just a few minutes later walking down the street talking to a little kid. They claimed she had the flu or something without what they were claiming. She went over to her daughter's apartment, I think, or something. And the next thing you know, she's walking down the sidewalk by herself. By herself. And she talks to this little child. Which, keep in mind, everything's political theater. Everything is planned and scripted. And that was, this absolutely was planned and scripted. No Secret Service around her whatsoever. None. Cameras at the right angle. Everything was all set up perfectly. Audio was great. She comes walking down the sidewalk and greets this little girl and says, oh, I'm doing fine. I had a little issue. Not a smidgen of anything having happened to her just a couple of hours earlier. And it didn't really look like Hillary, folks. It looked like her, but she didn't walk the same. She had a different kind of smile. It was uncanny that it could possibly have been a double, maybe. Not saying it was. I'm no expert on this stuff. But it's been, I guess that the most of the presidents, no, I don't know how they're going to find a body double for Donald Trump. It's just not going to happen. Joe Biden had a couple of issues where they showed him with these, in a couple of situations where he was taller than normal and then shorter than normal. And it was the weirdest thing. He was the same height people around him in one frame when he's mumbling. And the next time he's doing a speech or doing something and where he's you know, they got him doing something and he's taller than everybody around him. Same people. Really very strange. And of course there were issues with his face and all kinds of other things that people would point out. This is not normal. This isn't it on his face, and this doesn't look how he looked yesterday. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he's back to that's gone again. The next thing. It's just there was some weird stuff like that was going on. And of course, if you'd say anything about it, you're a conspiracy theorist. I don't know. Most world leaders, my understanding is that most of them have body doubles that will do things to throw the press off, throw people off, and do things like that. That's just a part of security, I guess, in some to some extent. Now, having said all that, one of the things that's coming out in this report now about, and there's more damning evidence. And of course, this statement that Barack Obama came out and made in his defense and to address this situation was actually very, very carefully crafted. I listened to a couple of different lawyers talk about this statement. They were like, this statement was made by a lawyer. The things he said were very carefully crafted. He didn't deny. He never denied any of this. He didn't deny any of it. Listen to it very carefully about what he says. Now, I'll be playing it, hopefully. I might try to put this together tonight, actually. Some of the audio of what he said. He didn't say anything about this didn't happen. He never had any deniability in the whole thing. All he could do was reference what other people widely accepted. It's widely accepted that this happened, that happened. That's all he had. That's the only thing he had. So this whole thing is bubbling over now, and it's I'm not sure where it's going to go. You know, are they actually going to try to convict Barack Obama? I think they might. They're going to go after. There's certainly going to be some fall guys in this whole thing. Now, I think Clapper and Brennan both should be in prison anyway. They are two of the most nefarious individuals that have ever been a part of our government. There's no question about that. They are two of the sleaziest individuals. The things that they have said, done, covered up. Where they've lied to the American people before Congress. When you go before Congress, you're talking to the American people. You're talking to my representative, person who represents me. You're talking to the American people, which we're the government. You work for us. And for you to lie to me, that means you're fired. If an employee lies to me with no remorse, no repercussions, no nothing, no coming back and saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you the truth." There's no repentance. There's no nothing. Unabashedly, just doing that. You're fired. You're done. I can't trust you anymore. That's just the way it's going to be. I can't have you working for me. Can't trust you with the keys to my vehicles and just not going to happen. So now if the person lies to me and they come back later and say, you know what, I was under pressure, whatever your excuse is for lying to me, they apologize for lying to me. We can work through this. You're human, you're a human being. But if it's this emboldening, brash, just in your face lie, and then, testify to yourself that you're not lying. Well, I'm sorry. We're not gonna work with that. So we have that going on. Now, in the midst of this whole thing, or behind the scenes, the other side story to this whole thing is the news media. Remember how the news media was telling us that the world is coming apart because Donald Trump had a tariff war going on, and everything's gonna implode. We're gonna have this constant inflation. Well, now they're talking about inflation because I think Drew Barrymore's products in Walmart are going up in price or something. However, eggs are come down. There's always something going up in price. They find something, whether it's eggs or Drew Barrymore's products in Walmart, They find something that's going up in price. Look at how things are skyrocketing for these people. Oh, well, why is Drew Barrymore getting all of her products from China? So you're saying that they're not American made, they're just Chinese made, and that's why. I don't know anything about her products. I have no idea. I'm not an expert. I don't know what's going on with that. But this is the way the news media does it. They pick on something, they find something, and they're to blame Trump for it. So that's what they're doing. But in the meantime, a little untold story here that the legacy media anyway is not picking up on is that there has been it's like huge investments from other foreign countries to the tune of trillions of dollars into our infrastructure, our economy. They're building plants here. This is the whole thing. This is kind of a little side note to tariffs. Well, if you don't want to pay the tariff, then you need to build a plant here and employ U.S. workers. And you know, create jobs here. This whole jobs thing goes far, far beyond just a factory. Let's say that some auto manufacturer wants to come over here, or widget manufacturer. Let's just call it a widget manufacturer. They're going to manufacture something, tables, whatever it is. And instead of doing it over there and shipping it here, they build a plant here. Now they have to employ people here. Now, but it goes beyond that. Well, that's going to create 250 jobs here in this community, whatever it is, or 1,000 jobs, whatever it is. The number of jobs that are there. Now, whenever you see a plant, like the long time ago, Honda put up a plant in Ohio. Marysville, Ohio. A friend of mine from high school worked for them for a long time as an engineer, and he was in the engineering department in Marysville. And this is the kind of thing that people don't think about. That plant out in the middle of nowhere, it's in the middle of a cornfield. They put the whole thing in. That whole area now has grown up like crazy. And here's why. Well, people are traveling back and forth to work. They're coming from wherever they are. They got to go there to work, whether they live in a half hour away, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours away. They got to go there to work. You got to buy gas for your car. They have to have a gas station there because eventually somebody's going to need gas. So gas stations start popping up around the area, little ready marts, whatever it is, convenience stores. So people are buying things. They're getting food there and getting snacks. Well, then the little fast food restaurants start popping up. You know, McDonald's comes first and then it'll come, whatever it is. These little things start happening. Then you have the housing, and people want to live closer, so they buy off land. So there's some land developers that come in there and they start building housing projects. They start putting in housing areas, start building houses, and they start selling houses. Next thing you know, you've got shopping of all kinds because you've got people who live there. They live in the community. They want to have a place where they can, you know, buy and sell. So Walmart, whatever it is, comes in. Mom and pop shops, whatever they're going to have. People start opening businesses to cater to those people who are the new residents there. So this is what happened over time. This is over 20, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. This stuff starts happening. Now, in the meantime, the construction industry, because of all the building that's going on, is also booming in that area. All over this little thing that started with 250 or 500 jobs, whatever it was, comes into this community. And the next thing you know, you've got a little burgeoning town because of all the support jobs that are around those jobs. This is how things develop. This is how things grow. It takes time. You can't do it overnight. You can't just do it in 4 years of allowing, you know, people to just flood into your country. That throws everything off because the supply chain can't keep up with that. You can't keep, you know, job training. You can't keep all the other things that have to happen to support those people. You can't just throw money at them and say, here's a free, you know, card to get yourself into the hotel every night, and here's a free voucher, and here's a free Uber, and there's a guy who got interviewed. He's a whistleblower now. He's talking about how he was managing this one hotel and the things that they were able to do and what they did with all that stuff. So all this investment now is coming into the country. This is what's going to happen. How is this going to affect our economy? We're going to have what's going on. There was an economist yesterday talking about this, and he was interviewing the guy in Trump's party, in Trump's administration, that's kind of behind all this. I can't even think of the guy's name, Mike, whatever his name is. We are truly at the, unless something weird happens, we are truly at the step, in my opinion, of the when they keep talking about the golden age of America, we are poised. This country, this nation is going to see probably some of the biggest economic boons that it is that has ever been in my lifetime. We'll see how it works out. It all has to unfold properly, and of course, there's always possibly something going very poorly wrong or something catastrophe. It's very interesting, folks. Thanks for listening today. Have a great rest of your day. Have a great night tonight, and possibly tomorrow there will be a show. In the meantime, Shabbat Shalom. Have a great weekend. Take care. God bless. I will maybe.